What we have here is a case of missing white woman's syndrome. Interesting. Welcome back, America, and all of the world. And if you happen to be listening to us from a space station up in the air, welcome you to satellite space people. Go ahead.
Hello, out there.
Welcome back to the White Beard and TK podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am the glorious one. Did I say that this week? I don't remember. Anyway, yeah, that's me, White Beard, and standing right next to me is the one and the only
TK.
TK, wow, she's not the Queen of England, she's not the Princess of all of Africa, she's just the TK. Well, I just put gum in my mouth, and I probably shouldn't have. I should have done that before we got here. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have us a situation. Not really us. Could be us. Could be a great deal of many people. We've been discussing a lot over the past couple of days of the development in the news about the young lady, what's her name?
Gabby Petito.
Apparently, as the news organizations are saying, she is an influencer, a YouTube influencer. I've never heard of her until this happened. I heard one newscaster pronounce it and say influencer with a sort of flex in the voice as if it's a joke. Personally, I think the terminology influencer is kind of stupid too, because everybody can influence something, but that's the new age of people who are on YouTube and everything else. So, we've been talking about it for the past couple of days. TK actually brought it to my attention. I was busy doing other things when I heard this, you know, slipping through some of the YouTube channels I've been watching. Actually, not a lot of people really covered this. Not the political people who I've seen cover this that I might watch. Not everyone within the outdoor industry, hikers or somebody else, or the van life people. I don't know many who have covered this. I am not one of those. I don't really watch any van life type channels except for one guy, which is Primal Outdoors. Other than that, I'm usually watching camping and hiking and overlanding things. So that's generally what we do. That's pretty much what we do anyway. So that's the stuff that I watch, and no one has talked about this. So I thought it was something that we should bring up and we should talk about because of the many different, dare I say, opinions surrounding the death of this young lady. As you heard with the opening, which either you probably hung out to figure out what we were going to say, or you got turned off from that opening.
Which I don't think that there should be any opinions at all. I don't think that you should have an opinion on why somebody's disappearance and then death is getting attention. I don't know why you would have some type of point that you need to make out of that. That's like negative.
Well, we have our opinions. Everyone have their opinions as well. My issue is when you're talking about a news service, when you're supposed to be reporting the news, when you start interjecting your opinion, then do not call yourself a newscaster or something else like that. Then just call yourself an editor. It's an editorial piece. This is an opinion piece. Because then it's a problem.
Right.
However, you're blurring the lines between what it is that you're supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be journalism. So, right.
I guess my point is, like, for example, if somebody used my death to say, well, this is part of the national health crisis. And then put my name up in there. Why are you, you know, collecting cash off of somebody's name that you barely even knew?
Right. So, if you, who are our usual audience of two people, are unfamiliar with the case, why don't you explain what you came and you told me about this before we get into more in-depth stuff about what we are thinking about and talking about. What happened?
I mean, I saw it on Twitter, and at that point, it was a couple days before they found her body, and so at that point, she was just missing. And the boyfriend, who shall not be named because I refuse to give this person any more publicity, anyway, came home without her in her van, I believe, and she was not there. And then he was also missing spontaneously, not missing, but gone quite conveniently, I would say. What else do you want me to say?
I don't know what you told me, but I guess I'm going to have to say it. So what happened was...
Well, I read something else about their being...
What were they doing? What was the whole...
They were traveling together, you know.
Across country.
Yeah. Taking on the outdoors in... Again, they were part of the van life community.
Right. Living in vans.
Yes. Which... is a whole different... we're not going to get into living in a van right now, but yeah.
Okay, so what were they doing? They were going cross country. How long were they out there?
I told you I was going to sit in the back seat. I don't remember exactly.
They had been around. They had been traveling for a couple of months. I think it may have been 3 months or 5 months, something like that. And they were in a van. From what I heard, the story was they had a car at one point and then decided, hey, once they got back, we can do this for longer. And so they went and they got a van. Then they started traveling together, companions in their 20s. I think she's 21 or 20. And they went out and then something ensued. She's missing, which we now know. So we waited before we even spoke on a podcast about. We now know that the body that they found was indeed hers after the autopsy. Now, in between finding the body, the boyfriend ended back up in Florida, back at home, as you said, driving her van, from what we know was her van. And then after being home for a little bit, he disappeared and can't be found. Basically on the run, unless a parent, her father or so, would have found the guy, and we may find him in a ditch somewhere. So that's where the story is right now. I haven't checked the news today to see if this man has been picked up, but yes, he is on the run after coming back and basically had a very long head start on all law enforcement to this point. So he was gone long before they decided to come look for him. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of messed up because it may take a while to find him. And the parents, for whatever reason, I think they got their lips shut, so they're not saying anything. I'm assuming they're going to go, we love our son. We don't want him to get into trouble.
I think they did finally talk to the cops or something like that, or they searched their house or something.
Yeah. Listen, I have said this to my children before, and I will say it again. You know, when they're inside your house, you kind of know what they're doing. Once they start getting to middle school and going out, when they start gaining the weight and you start going to the doctor and doctors start complaining, be like, listen, this is what we have in the house. Once they step outside my door, I don't know what they're eating. I don't know what they're doing. Once they start getting older and they start moving away from the family, I don't know what my kids are doing outside. So I have said this before on this podcast, and I've said to them before, listen, The cops come up here, you see them on TV. I will not be that parent that's going to go, well, they were always very nice, and I don't believe this is my little baby boy, this is my little girl. I don't know what they have done. They may or may not be guilty. Are they my child? Yes. But I'm not going to look like a fool harboring you in my home and you've committed some heinous crime. I can't vouch for that person anymore. So I don't know how this whole thing arrived with him coming home and skipping out the back door. Mm-hmm. And his parents not questioning where she is and everything else, especially if her parents may have been trying to get into, matter of fact, I did hear some of it. Her parents did get in contact with them and said, I think it was about a week. It was like, can you help us find us? Are you looking for her? So the parents did contact his parents while all this was going on because their daughter was missing. Mm-hmm. So.
Which I think is really messed up. A child is accused of something or not accused of something yet. And you just, whether they did or didn't, not really speaking about his family because I don't know if they did or did not believe the cops or believe that their son did it. But, you know, people don't want to believe that their child could have possibly done something illegal or wrong. Your child is not the 5-year-old that you once knew.
Right. And the reason why we're bringing this up, the reason why we're talking about it on our show, and why this is not one of my special crazy train episodes or political episodes, and why we're talking about this together, is because this affects kind of the community that we're in. We're out there hiking, we're traveling, we're adventure travelers, and we're doing these other things. And so this is in our wheelhouse. This is the area and arena in which we're in. And we talk a lot about safety for her and for me and when traveling together and a lot of conversations along the road and everything else. And so this brought up, okay, Les, we need to talk about this again. Now the story unfolds to get very hanky as we learn that there's some abuse happening here as well. So briefly, let me explain to you what I believe the difference is between all the different quote unquote communities. I did air quote, but you can't see me. The camping community, or who go camping, car camping, family camping, you could throw backpacking in there because basically you are backpacking and hiking at you're camping and hiking at the same time. With that, so let's speak about the hiking community. Within the hiking community, there are subgroups. There's regular hikers, you know, day hikers or whoever, weekend warriors, or people may say, and then there are the through hikers who go through. And they hike the long distances across states. They're a different breed in some respects than other people who backpack. Then you have campers, people who go family camping, guys who go camping by themselves. And then you have overlanders who travel long distances and get away from people and go to more remote areas to go camping and enjoy time with their family or just the guys by themselves. So that's something a little bit different. When you get into people traveling in cars, there's a difference between the people who want to live in their van and as they hashtag it all over for van life people, a little different than overlanders. You said something a little interesting earlier that you can say now about the trust thing.
I said this based off of something that we saw. I think it was like a documentary or something like that, mm-hmm. about a bunch of people who are in this community, and just watching it just made me realize, you know, this was a while ago that we saw it, but it just reminded me of that. And so I was like, well, generally what I think is that they're very trusting of each other, and I think that, you know, the blame shouldn't be put on you for trusting somebody, but when you trust the wrong people, sometimes bad things do happen. Mm-hmm. Which is like, you know, you go traveling with this person that you trust and that you're in a relationship with, and you are trusting them not to hurt you or not to let you get hurt by an animal or another person. And sometimes that doesn't always work out.
Right. I would say that people who do that are more akin to hippies of the 70s, in my opinion. Just like through hikers are pretty much like the hippies of those days. And, you know, they're kind of trusting and they're out there. And, you know, with the van people, they'll meet up, have these great big old meetups, and they do that. A lot of different people. And so that, to me, that's got that more hippie, the hippie-ish kind of thing, the whole California West Coast stuff. So this is sort of the mindset of how that community is, and me speaking in general, which is a little bit different than the overland community or other camping people, because, you know, an overlanding, you're talking about being in a dispersed area, so you're not around people. You're not looking to be with people. You're looking to be away from people. And when you're out there doing this, you are depending on your vehicle, so you have everything you need. Your shotgun, your knife, your food, your refrigerator, your repair kit, everything that you could possibly use to be self-sufficient. And while they may be a bit trusting, these people are also hypervigilant and taking care of themselves and their families. So the midset, I think, is just a tad bit different. The same thing when you're hiking. You know, when I'm out hiking, it's the two of us together, and you're kind of hypervigilant about all of the animals in your surrounding when you're out there. And you must be. You must be prepared to patch up your cuts, your broken bones, and everything else. So you're a little bit self-sufficient as well. And kind of a little bit leery of the people you might meet out in the woods. I'm just saying. Now, there are some people, and you say, hey, how you doing? You move on your business. So it's not like we're going to be hiking unless you hike with the group. You're going to be hiking as a, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm great. Hey, come on over and have some cookies with us. We just baked some cookies. Yeah, not going to happen. Remember the first time we were on, we took that little mini hike? We were in Virginia, and that couple came up to us?
Yes.
We have some trail mix. Would you like some?
No. I mean, it was a giant bag. And it looked like it was from a store. They didn't, like, make it.
Right.
And put it into a jar and take it out there with them. So, like, I feel like, you know, what could have happened if you took it? You know, you might have been fine, but something might have happened. And, you know, as children, you're taught, don't take candy from strangers. Don't take food from strangers. Remember, I got into trouble for that. By the way, a little side note. I actually did one time, and I was reprimanded.
Yeah, so we were kind of leery. We're also from New York.
Yes.
I'm not that trusting.
You don't trust anybody.
No. And personally, me, I don't trust anybody anyway. And then you add that I'm from New York, I go out of state. I'm like, I got three eyes on you. I'm watching every single thing that you do. So I think that in that community, you know, those are the biggest, in general speaking, differences. When we went backpacking, we saw an older lady who was backpacking by herself. We'll get into how, what the difference between traveling by yourself a little bit later as well. And she was older, I would say maybe 10 years older than me, and she had to hike in where we came in, and that was a bit difficult. But she came up to us like, hi, and offered to help us if we need anything, and if we need to purify our water. She had a UV thing to do, and I was like, thank you. And I was just trying to scoot on while she kept talking. She was a nice lady. I would have went over later on that night to speak to her, but we got so busy setting up our camp and all other stuff. But I was not saying, oh, yeah, let me use your UV. I'm just not that trusting.
I mean, like, she seemed nice enough.
Yes.
The only word that got me was, if you need to sterilize your water, and my brain immediately shut off. I was like, black people have been through this before. Let's not do it again.
No. Sterilize your water and your body. That was not where I thought you was going to go with that. But okay. So I think, in speaking in general, those are the biggest difference in sort of mindset of how these communities operate. But we're all in this outdoor I want to say industry, because that would be more the business side. We're all in the outdoors. We love this stuff. You know, we were trying to get across country this year, and I was hoping to do that, and just you know, and it got derailed. But we're not going to go into that. And so, and this is my travel partner, and you know. You go across and you meet people along the way and you say hi and you do all these other things. We met a couple of adventure bikers and the guys are really, really nice. And my daughter was next to me. You know, I didn't bring her, hey, here's my daughter. Come over here and get in the middle and go, hey, can I take a picture? Let me go walk off with her. I'm going to go get her a cup of coffee. So, nah. That's not happening.
But, I mean, trust isn't always about like being hurt by somebody as right. well. Because one of the guys went, and I was like, oh.
He may have the sickness.
How nice.
Right. He was coughing, but also he was there. They were my age, so, you know,
and
they were jumping through climates.
He was eating a granola bar, I believe.
So. Yeah, he choked on a granola bar is what happened.
Which is kind of dry.
He choked on a granola bar and didn't drink any water. Yeah. So that's some of the differences that makes our individual communities just a little bit different. And so a lot of this wasn't spoken about across those different areas. And we chose to talk about it because, yes, I think it's all in the same thing. And also we were hearing some things, stories about this whole issue, which I think, well, I'll start with that. I'll start with my opening comment, which is what I heard. The young lady was missing. Like I said, TK came to me. I didn't know much about it. I was busy working on other stuff, so I wasn't paying attention to the news. And by the time I actually looked at it, there was this lady who people know as Joy Reid. I don't know who she is. Every once in a while, someone brings up her name, then they show a clip of something she said. And so she says that everyone is talking about this. And so on. But there's a word for this, and she comes up with the phrase, what was it again?
Missing white woman syndrome.
Missing white woman syndrome. And I'm sitting there going, who created this word? I've never heard this phrase before. It only came out your mouth because it ain't never been in any mouths of people that I know or your elk. After she said that, the whole thing went downhill from there. She had someone who's missing black people, some acronym she had, and then they had a native woman there from whatever.
Most of the tweets I saw didn't agree with her anyway.
Who would agree with this fool? So anyway, and tell her I said she's a fool. She won't be listening to the miss.
People are like, you know, she's racist.
Of course she is.
She's a homophobe, and I'm just like, oh, so you got multiple things under
She's got everything in the book, and y'all can go and tell her that I said that she's a complete and utter fraud and fool, as well as Don Lemon, a complete fraud and fool. I will never meet them. Maybe you listen to them, and you can say, hey, this tiny little podcast over here was calling your names. Bring it on. And I'm going to prove to you that I'm correct. She turns this into this whole racial thing and say that the black people missing. And then she talks about two people that, and like I quote, I didn't know about until just now. Mm-hmm. Some young black man who was missing around the same area. And then she mentioned someone else who was missing, or actually she mentioned a native person who was missing because one of her guests were someone who, you know, is championing that cause, and said that the media doesn't talk about this.
Which, I mean, is fine. Like, in general, it's fine. If you want to talk about something that the big news channels are not covering, you go right ahead. But you don't sit there and say that somebody who's white and that's missing is less important or is more important just because they're white. That doesn't make any sense. When somebody is kidnapped or runs away or anything like that, there are multiple factors that goes into if you are found, when you are found, or if it's your body that is found. How many people you know, if you are somebody that has a very big social media presence, how many people are following you? Usually people, like if you have a large amount of people paying attention to you, they will pick up on the fact that something is different. Whether or not your family has money to hire a private investigator, or whether or not there's lots of missing cases within the coverage of whatever police precinct is in your area. There's a bunch of different things, and it's like it doesn't just come down to what race you are or whether you're a man or a woman.
Now, I've lived longer than you, so I know. There is truth to there are lots of black people that are missing and have not been found in a lot of unsolved cases. I was about to say good. I don't mean good like okay. But I'm with, and that's great. No, I don't mean good like that. But my point is that there's some truth to that. However, how do you have this national news coverage and you go from talking about a child that is missing to turn this around to some sort of political racist thing and racism and start talking about, well, they're all about the white people, so this is racism. Really? You missed the point that there are two families that are in pain because someone is missing. You've missed the fact that, and we'll get into this a little bit later, you're missing the fact that this relationship was doomed and in trouble because there was some violence happening within the whole thing. So now, unless you're going to talk about the violence that's happening in the BIPOC community, in the Native community, whatever the heck it was that she was laying out, because when I got finished looking at it, I said, well, if you got the black woman there and you've got the First Nation lady there, then you should have the Puerto Ricans over here, you should have the Mexicans on your show, you should have some Dominicans on your show, you should have some Jamaicans on your show, you should have some people from England on your show. I mean, if you're going to start picking out and choosing what person you're going to have them all on there, or I mean, shut the heck up.
How many single black moms are abusive to their sons or to their children in general? And how many of those kids just run away from their house? Doesn't mean that they're missing, but maybe their mother finally started to care, filed the police report, and now they're on file as missing. What percentage of that are you counting?
And so now we get into Don Lemon, who says the same exact thing as Joy Reid. Now, this is what I say about them being frauds and fakes and idiots. If you remember, it was about a week or so ago when, what's that young lady who I don't even listen to, Nicki Minaj was saying some stuff about something about vaccines and things, right?
Yeah.
This lady, Joy Reid, gets on the air and starts saying, sister or something like that. She addressed her like a black person, black on black, because I don't think white folks talk to each other like this. Sister, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You blah, 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 blah. Then trashed her because she had an opinion, a difference of opinion, and dare speak against what everybody else is trying to convince us of. If you remember correctly, I said a few weeks ago, we spent an entire year, but no one has ever for one tiny moment have said, and I've gone to the doctors myself, no one has ever told us to boost our immune systems and make sure that we are getting healthy and healthy. And I've said before, you know, when the whole thing hit, the stores, all the chips were gone, but the fresh fruit and vegetables and medications and vitamins were still on the shelf. So because she dared to have an opinion and say something a little bit different, this lady tried to destroy her. So you want to talk about black people, but you just try to destroy a young lady the week before, and this week you come on talking about some racial stuff. So why would I be listening to Joy Reid? Why would I listen to Don Lemon?
Because she pretends to care. And proof of that is not only what she said to Nicki Minaj, because Nicki Minaj is also black.
Right.
So, you know, that's your sister, right? So let her have her opinion. Let her make her choice. That's her person. That is her body. She can do whatever she wants.
So.
Sorry. I didn't finish my thought. And also the fact that you said, well, I didn't know about these two cases. Well, if you really cared, Miss Reid, you would know about the cases. You would go out and you would search for them instead of just complaining that they're not being covered.
That's what I was going to say. See, the first part was, that's me proving that they're foolish. The second part is, proving that there are frauds are because if you cared about this, and you're talking about media don't portray this and don't talk about it, you are the media. You are part of it on CNN and NBC. You guys are part of the entire thing that does not cover this stuff. So you're full of your nonsense and you want to go out there and pretend to be a champion of something where you do nothing about it yourself. So that's enough of these idiots. That's enough of these fools. That's enough of these frauds. Let's move on to the meat and heart of this story, which is, this is a tragedy. It could have been any one of my daughters or a son. It could have been any one of my daughters, including this one standing right next to me, that got involved in a relationship, went across country with someone, and never returned. I don't care what the heck the complexion of the skin is. And when you're talking about being an outdoor adventurer and everything else, you know, sometimes I think we really need to talk about certain things, and that's why we're taking it on. Because a lot of these big channels will be on YouTube and they're not going to cover this. They don't want to talk about domestic violence. They just want to continue their million followers and stuff. And you know, and everything is nice and pretty and good. And so if you look at our YouTube channel, I think that we're showing a different experience.
Which you know. Is crazy because you could...
Not everything is perfect.
You could say, well... She was a traveler, but she wasn't an overlander. Well,
that doesn't make a difference.
Guess what? She was a woman. Guess what you are? You are also a woman. So you're going to sit there and tell me that this doesn't apply, like, to you at all.
Yes. And so, let me start from this way backwards or something like that. I don't know. We started a book, What He Must Be If He Wants to Marry My Daughter. Although we never finished completing the review here with you guys as we started out, we did finish the book while we were away in New England. Hold that thought. Now that we have your attention for the next few seconds, we would love to hear from you. Your questions, your comments, whatever it is you want to say, your dislikes, we love to hear from you. And you can reach us at
whitebeardandtk@gmail.com.
That's
whitebeardandtk@gmail.com.
And while you're also there, you might as well check us out on YouTube. And you can find us at
The Whitebeardandtk Experience.
And on Instagram at the same name of
Whitebeardandtk Experience.
Where you can continue to follow along with our adventures on our Friday night adventure show, where we'll be showing you some of the places that we've been going on our hikes and the recent road trip that we have been on. So go check that out on YouTube, the
Whitebeardandtk Experience.
And you can reach us at
whitebeardandtk@gmail.com.
Thank you. And so we finished the book. And we discussed it. In the book, it's basically teaching our daughters what to look for in a husband, in a Christian man, in a Christian husband, especially if you're Christians, right? What to look for in a husband. As I said before, you know, you don't have to be a Christian to appreciate the lessons in this book. What to look for in a husband, and to teach our sons what they ought to be before they even think about marrying a woman. And so a lot of these things we're talking about integrity and to look for certain things of his maturity and a lot of other these things. And it was great because it's a conversation that we should have with our daughters, including, and I'll speak from a father's perspective and then I'll get into I'll be kind of objective, is it? Yes. Listen, he put his hand on you, drop him like a sack, and we can discuss how we're going to handle it after that. That's me as a dad. Now me as a person talking to you. We need to have these conversations with our children and our daughters long before they embark on their lives. I don't know how long this girl was with this guy. I don't know anything else. We watched some of the police body cam just before we got on here. I was looking at some of the other news clippings and reading some of the newspapers. But there was definitely some abuse going on, and when people call the cops, it's because they witnessed something. And that's a terrible thing, that if she was indeed that beat, like, I mean, what do you call it? What's that syndrome? The European country. Ah!
Stockholm.
Stockholm. Right? You know, you got the whole Stockholm thing. It's a shame because we ought to teach them to be able to say to someone, yeah, you know what? I need some help. Get me out of this. Help me get out of here. And there are some signs that people could have possibly seen and missed. Go ahead, say what you're going to say.
I've seen multiple different responses to this, and it's like, well, I hope he's not found because her father killed him.
Right.
Which
May or may not.
I don't disagree with. But
But.
for me, as a person and a young woman, I personally hope that he's not dead and that he's found. Because why should he get to be dead? Why should he get to go free of charge and just die? I think he should go to prison for a very long time, if not the rest of his life.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast from this guy from all over Overland and was saying, you know, within the Overland community, is there something we can do to make it easier for people to come get help? And you know, and he said, you know, when it comes to domestic violence, it's a little tricky because how you get involved and how you don't get involved. And as you and I were watching the body cam, you heard the guy start talking about legislation in the area and how they can charge them or not charge them. And I said to you see, this is where there's so many things that went wrong in this case, and that this young lady could have been alive because of the way a lot of things were being handled. You know, she may be 20, but I tell my daughter, I don't think you should go. And I told the kids before, me and mommy was like, you know what? That's your boyfriend. No, you're not buying this. Don't move in with the person. Don't get your joint bank accounts. Don't buy this person this and buy this person. No, that should be reserved for your husband, because you don't know what's going to happen or you're going to break up. So at 20, I'm like, nah, I don't think that's a good idea that you should go drive with this guy. I don't know if that was said. I don't know if she had regular check-ins. All I do know is that this clearly had an issue. I heard one person say something interesting, which is what I said. After they left from the cops, they probably got into something. Maybe he hit her a little too hard. She hit a rock. Maybe she slipped and fall after an argument. And then he just took the van and jetted. Either way, I want him found too. Because you left the body. This case is crazy. You left the body. Wherever it was, he left her alone. I don't care if she slipped and she fell and he killed her. He killed her. All right. He killed her. He left the body. She slipped and fall. He left the body. If he's decided, I'm just going to go home and leave you out here, he left the girl. Got in the van, went back to Florida. This is where we need to teach our daughters to be wiser when you are picking someone that is going to be your partner, whether it is for life as a marriage person or someone that you're dating or doing other things. Be very careful. Because how does he come back without her? That in itself, right there, is like, this ain't right. You were traveling and living in a vehicle. She's got nowhere else to go. There was no other vehicle, but you end up with the vehicle. Her footprints ain't inside the car, and you bring it back down to Florida, wherever it is he lives. So these are things we need to sit down and we talk to our kids, we talk to our daughters to how to be safe and you know, and to protect themselves in many different ways before it even gets here. Because whatever was going on happened long before they got in that road. Long before they got in the road. You look at the footage and the cop is saying, you got that scar on your neck. He's going, yeah, you know, well, before we got, and you know, and she, I'm sitting there going, dude is lying through his teeth. It's just something about his story didn't add up, but he said this and she said that, and they kind of, the stories kind of matched, and then he didn't want to charge her so she wouldn't have to go to jail, and she didn't really charge him and said that she didn't really hit him, but so much just went awry. I mean, the van swerved before it pulled over, so there was so much going on.
Like, of course, as a bystander, you know, pre-body cam footage, you could say, well, I saw him shove her to get her away from him, and you know, he has a scratch mark, so she's the abuser. I kind of forgot where I was going with this.
Don't matter, keep talking till you get it.
Okay, I got it. Well, she's the abuser. Okay, guess what? Their stories matched up, but she's sitting in the cop car crying. I think we can all agree that something that's commonly done is, yeah, no, it's fine. And then get her to say, no, you know, it's fine. It's my fault. And then, no, I want to drop the charges. So he can get her back in the van and some more abuse can continue after that.
And paint the picture as she's a little mentally unstable or something else like that. And it's funny, as we're watching the cops pretty much go through their mental, as they're deciphering what's going on. And one was saying, you know, when I came up here, and I saw this, and so he said, okay, but what we're stuck with is we can charge her, but we don't have to throw her in jail. We can give a citation and she'll have a court date and she can do this, she can do this online. We can do that. But she doesn't want to say he did anything. He doesn't want to charge her with anything, but we'll go and see if he wants to charge her. But if he doesn't want to charge her, then there's nothing else they can do because they're living in the same vehicle together. So if they're in a stationary home, we'll say, you know what, the two of you need to separate and go somewhere else. So the only other way to separate them would have been to take her to jail, since according to what people have seen or he said, she was more of the aggressor, which I'm like, okay. The bystanders who saw, you know, the bag hanging out the window or whatever else, I'm like, aggressor? Dude, why you got her bag out? And the cop was saying she had to climb through the driver's seat. When it's like, well, why are you doing that? So he came to his conclusion was, it was probably the only door that was unlocked she can get into. These are a lot of red flags going off. Why is she crawling in to the driver's side? How come she can't get in through the passenger side? Why is the door locked? So there's a lot of stuff that went so wrong in this situation of their lives. So the only other thing would have been to lock her up. And as he was telling the guy, you know, you can come in. And if you want to drop the charges, we'll take her in. You can come down to the precinct. You can come down to wherever they were. And then you can come in and say you want to drop the charges. And the two of you can get back together. But until then, you know, we give you a citation. You have to be split up and you do this other stuff. You know, basically the citation would be saying, like, don't touch each other again, okay? And I'm like, see, that's where we went a little wrong. He painted this picture. He's leaning up against the van. She's a little crazy. And the cops, even though, this is where cognitive dissonance come in. Even though they thought something was a little bit hanky, they didn't take her in. Nope. As far as I know, we have to go back and look that up. They should have taken her in and kept them separated. No matter whichever way you went, it was domestic violence. You should have separated them, let him come down the next day. I guarantee homeboy would have taken that daggone van and left anyway. Probably. So there was a lot of things that went wrong that led to this death. And as far as us in the outdoor world, perhaps we need to pay a little bit more attention. Don't be so quick to brush something off, but I don't mean to be so ridiculous, as we have so many things are these days that we become really stupid about things. Oh, he looked at her wrong. Oh, look at her eyes. Oh, look, the kid looks a little dirty. Have you ever seen kids go camping?
Right. So, and if you're the person traveling with a partner and you think, you know, something's up with this person. Like, something is not right. Make it your mission to get out of there safely.
Work, get away. And I was wondering, and I contacted a few ladies who we follow and we're connected with on Instagram, who are lone travelers. These women travel by themselves, different ages. And, you know, one of the things I was thinking about this young girl, Gabby, I was like, you know, I don't know if they were traveling with a GPS, with any sort of tracker. We have Garmin, we have the giant Garmin, we have the giant brick. We got one of the first models because it was a little bit cheaper. Actually, it was only about $100 cheaper, but I figured I can download maps and stuff. But then there's a Garmin Mini, and on it is an SOS button. So if you get in any trouble and you need to be helivacked out of there or you need some help, you flip that button, hit that SOS, and people are coming to your rescue. You know, I don't know if they had one. I don't know if she had access to one or if they had one, because that would have been a really good thing to use to hit that button. I spoke to another lady who actually she's reading a book from, and she was saying that she has a lot of different trackers. She has a tracker on her cat. We know another family who have a tracker on their dog. She has a tracker on her cat, and she has a lot of her different items and clothing to have trackers too. And so she keeps in touch with her family members and with a lot of check-in. So one of the things she told me was that the person who checks on her figures out, well, I think maybe she's wearing this. And so she'll go in and she'll check on where was the last spot that she was at. Mm-hmm. And so she's able to do that. So just imagine if she had those things on her, Gabby would have been found a lot sooner. Just a lot of different things that we can do to protect ourselves, to teach our daughters and protect our daughters, including, she hates that I make her carry her knife, but I said, you have to get used to having it with you all the time. When we're out in the woods, we may need it. You know, we have gone shopping a few times, have been extremely hungry and needed some food. It's like, what are we going to get food? Well, we just brought something. Okay. What are we going to open it with? I pull out my knife, cut it open. We grab some bread, eat some food right there in the road and go. You know, any sort of martial arts or whatever it is to help our daughters be able to protect themselves physically, protect themselves mentally, and be very aware when they're traveling. Because what did Miss Chateau say about women traveling? If you remember me reading it to you.
I that they're safer on their own.
Go on.
That's all I remember.
Right. Because I was talking to her and said, you know, do you make sure that you have these different things? And so what she said was, it's safer traveling as a lone woman or traveling by yourself. But let's speak about women, because that's basically it. It's safer to travel as a woman single than it is in a couple. Because most times the person who is going to be killed or abused will be from that guy that you're with, whether it's in a family member or something like that. She went through the whole percentages of it. As well as, you know, when it comes to men murdering men, it's most likely it's going to be, I just said it, it's more of a man will be murdering a man.
Right.
And I said, you're kind of right. And so her family member contacted her, because when she heard about the case, she pretty much, I think, did what I did and said, I really wish you weren't out there by yourself. Mm-hmm. And then a week after the case broke, her mom said, I'm glad you are by yourself.
Yeah.
And it would tend to make sense, because as we said, as hikers, you are hyper vigilant when you're by yourself.
Yeah.
She doesn't put her current location when she's traveling. A few other ladies don't do that either. We have some big name people out there in the overland world and camping world who don't put their stuff out there either when they're somewhere. And that's families. And I guess because they got bigger channels and they're very more well known. And so I was a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about that. And I said, yeah, well, we travel together and we don't do that. Usually I may take a picture somewhere and it will be after we've left.
Right.
Or we'll post the pictures and everything else when we're on Instagram or something else. Then we'll put where we were. And that's just a small thing of protecting yourself.
I also read that somewhere you can register, like if you're doing international travel, you can register your travel spots with like the government or the police or something like that, so that they'll know where you'll be, and they can do like if you're not if you're not there, but like if you don't show up, they'll like do checks on you or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Wellness checks.
I guess.
Yeah. So, it seems would be safer that you would be traveling by yourselves. Some of these ladies pack some heat, as well as hidden knives and knives you can see. I've seen two of them. It's like really cool. And they got some boot knives.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. And I really like the one that I wanted to get for you, which is the chain that would go under your shirt. No one could see. It's very concealed. And if you ever need to get to it, it's like close right there, 2 inches. That's all you need, right into a throat, whatever else, slash a thigh, and then you're good. So it would appear that single people traveling are better. If you're going to travel with someone, then you really need to know the person you're traveling with. Like, we've been doing long distances together. I don't know if I could do a long distance with a whole few, a lot of other people. There may be some chatterboxes, and you'd be like, can you be quiet so I can listen to my music? And we have a whole long conversation like, listen, we got 18 hours to get where we're going. I do not want to talk for 18 hours.
I think I could travel with pretty much any of my family members. I think I could travel with pretty much any of my family members and be fine.
So, yeah, it's crazy, you know, that this was that sort of abusive relationship, and a lot of people missed their cues, and this person has lost her life. And again, you know, when we're talking about this outdoor community, this is some lessons that we need to sit down and talk to with our daughters, whether a little bit older or when they're beginning to travel by themselves, of how to make sure of what they're doing. She was reading a book not too long ago about a woman who was hiking, and go ahead, which will be a great segue into that movie we watched. Remember, she said she was hiking somewhere and she went with a friend that wanted to go over there, and did they not break up? She got in the van.
I don't remember.
Okay. So a few months ago, before we went backpacking, I was looking at a bunch of videos of hiking and backpacking and stuff, and we came across this movie called
Backcountry.
It's on Amazon or wherever else I'm assuming that you can rent it from. I suggest you go to Amazon and rent this movie. One of her first responses were, when stuff started going a little awry, was,
that wouldn't be me.
That wouldn't be me.
This was different. It was a willing trip that this lady took with her boyfriend. And
well, the same thing with Gabby and this guy. It was a willing trip.
What I mean is, like, there was present danger, and she said, okay, I still trust you.
Right. She went on with, I still trust you. And they were in their mid-20s, and I believe it was based on a true story. So while they're driving up to wherever they're going, because apparently he's an outdoorsman, and she was riding along, she's reading this magazine talking about couple stuff, trying to get to know one another, because apparently their relationship was a little rocky,
yeah,
right?
However, there was no malice or ill will between the two.
That we know
of. She was just busy with work all the time.
And so she wanted to get closer with him, and he said, hey, let's do this. But then we started noticing things when she would say something, his response to her was to kind of shut her down and say, I know. You know, that type of guy. Oh, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. At any point when we have been out inside in this world, have I ever told you I know what I'm doing?
No.
Heck no. Like, I don't know, but if you trust me, let's try.
Sometimes you do not listen to me, and then I end up being correct.
What's that supposed to mean?
Like, and it's not like dangerous situations, but like you ever have those moments where it's like, well, no, you took the wrong turn. And you end up being right. You have to go back and remake that turn.
So they're talking and they go to the camp store because they
He was
don't.
very overconfident.
He was overconfident and very aggressive, and she was sitting there as timid as I don't know what. They go to the camp store to rent this place. He said, I used to go to when I was a kid. Okay, you ain't been there since you was a kid. They go to the camp store, and the guy in the store says, well, the boat is out here in so and so, but they got the place you want to go to is closed right now because of bears and a lot of other stuff. And the guy pushes on that, well, we're going to go to Black Death, you know, let's just call it that, Black Death Trail. And she was like, really? Yeah. Oh, do you need this? No, we don't need this. And so I think he just said, all we need was bear spray. How did the bear spray thing happen?
She bought it and he said they wouldn't need it.
Oh, okay. I thought it wasn't him.
It was in her bag.
Right. She
He
brought.
said no to the map.
He said no to the map because he knew the area, and she brought bear spray just in case, and he still didn't think bear spray was necessary. Now, he thought bear spray wasn't necessary. Did he bring any sort of protection
No.
that you know of?
No. She also had a whistle.
Right. She had a whistle
Girl,
because
you
he thought it would.
won't need it.
Right. So they get to the boat. They get in the boat. And they go to where to go, and I guess she was questioning, well, isn't this thing supposed to be closed? But they go anyway. So when they get out, they're going to keep the boat. She grabbed the spray, put it on her hip, and took the whistle, which he pretty much laughed her for having. And then they pushed on to get to this place. And just got worse than there.
Yep, they ended up getting lost and.
She correctly pointed out, I think the trail is this way, and he goes, no.
Literally, like there was a path.
Right.
And he goes, no, it's up here, because I want to go up here
right and
on top of the
remember,
mountain.
this is a guy who took no map, and it's getting dark,
Right.
and she's sitting there going along with it. Okay, go on.
And they get up there and they're lost. I was like, well, isn't there supposed to be like something else up here? I was like, yeah. And she was like, you know, you're always doing stupid things like this. And I was just
I
like,
was like,
yeah, you're
oh.
correct. You're correct. He is.
Oh,
I already know he is. I don't even know him. And I just know.
so this guy is known for doing these things. It's my point. And she continued to be with him. She went on this trip with him, and it did not go well. I do love the part when the guy comes up with the fish,
The
which
Irish
we,
dude.
the Irish dude, and we know was kind of fishy. It was like, yo, he's about to take your woman. Like, what you doing? Man had the whole gaggle of fish.
But that's really all that happened. I mean, like he was like hitting on her or whatever, and it wasn't like, hey, Ma, what you doing? Can I get your number? Like it wasn't creepy.
Nah, it wasn't that, but he was giving the eyes. She
And
was
she
like,
was like, because it started out, he was like, hey, and then she was like, yeah, I'm out here with my boyfriend. You wanna have dinner with us?
of course, the boyfriend's like, no. Why would you invite him over here? I don't want him here. I don't want him here. It should be us. No, idiot. And of course, you know why? Because he was not the man. The guy with
And
the fish was
yeah,
the man.
100%. And yeah, so he was just like, oh, you know, all right, whatever. I should be on my way. It's like dark. I'm leaving. That situation ends. They never see him again until boyfriend, bear attack. All I need to say.
Yep. That's all she needs to say. I'm gonna say some more, so I'm gonna spoil the whole movie for you, but it's
He
something,
did.
but you need to see. You need to see this movie to see the progression. And this is what I'm talking about with the whole Gabby thing and us teaching and helping our daughters to understand relationships with everybody else, is that the progression of this thing, how it went. She already had an issue in their relationship, but she chose to go on this camping trip, to do this backpacking trip. Then he starts showing up and showing out, or whatever you wanna call it, and start acting like a fool from
I
the
was gonna
jump street.
propose to you.
Yeah, he act like like an idiot. Oh, right, he's gonna propose to her after she got mad. But the point was, he was acting a fool from the beginning. She should have already said, I'm going home.
Right.
But they left the car, they go up the hill, they see fish guy disappears, something goes wrong, in the morning they hear bears. This fool, she says, I hear something. Yeah, no. The bear is crawling around the thing, and this fool sit there cowered like a freaking coward. Like, shh, no, I'm not gonna go out. Don't go outside. No, something might. Really? Alright, guess what? The bear came inside, chewed this fool up. She had to find her way off that mountain. She used that bear spray that she had. She didn't get a chance to use the whistle, but she used that bear spray she had to get herself away, to get her behind down that freaking mountain, and she was gone for days. She couldn't find her way. She was, remember how she was? When they found her, she was laid out on the beach, dehydrated.
No, she wasn't. She got to the boat, and she started going back to the, like, parking area, and once she got out of the boat, she collapsed, and guess who was there?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. By the time she got to the beach, she was all beat up, dehydrated, and then she just collapsed, and the fish guy was there to collect her person. Mm-hmm. Who, by the way, offered to be their guide? Who also was talking about the bears in the area and everything else? So here we go with another case of teaching that listen to your gut. Don't do it, because this situation is going to end up poorly for you. In the case of this movie, that guy lost his life, and that young woman almost lost her life. In the case of Gabby, she did lose her life. She did lose her life, because we don't pay attention. A lot of times we don't teach our daughters and everybody else to pay attention to the signs and know to say, like, nah, I'm good. This is not going to work for me. Yes?
I don't have anything else to say.
I guess we're done. I didn't run out of steam, but after I went through that, I forgot if there was another point I wanted to say because I didn't write it down. So anyway, that's our take on this case and the reason why we brought it up, because it does affect our community as far as the outdoor people go, and it is something we should be talking about, because everything out there is not perfect. Everything is not out there that's perfect in this thing. Her whole Instagram pages and everything else showed all these nice smiling pictures, and we say all that a lot. You know, everything on Instagram is not this, and you show these pretty pictures of you smiling and you say this, but then we still post pictures where everything is pretty and nice. Because really, do I really want to show you a picture of me early in the morning, my beard going this way and that, and I got some crust in my eye and my face is wrinkled from me sleeping on it sideways? No. But, you know, even in our videos, I think when we went to New England, I was saying, you know, I got mad at her one night because we got caught. I said, talking about being right, let's leave out of here before it gets dark. And then it was raining. It was really pouring down rain. I was getting frustrated with her not moving and doing things faster. We didn't record that because it was pouring out raining and we needed to get the shelters fixed. So that was a primary focus, but I think you can hear me talking about it, right?
Yes.
You know, about that whole thing. And, you know, but this is my partner. So you get over that moment, you move on, and, you know, it's not only my partner, but this is my daughter. And I don't want her, you know, so the whole thing is like, you know, I'm frustrated with our situation, these things that need to happen, but I don't want you ever to think that it's okay for somebody to go, you know what? You didn't put the tip peg in. Pow! Punch upside your head or some nonsense. Whatever these guys are doing to these young ladies out here. No. There's a difference. And someone said, maybe he was frustrated and jealous because she had this new thing. Her Instagram followers got bigger. Maybe for him, he was jealous. And so as this thing grew for her, this new career, he was jealous, didn't like it. He wanted all the attention for himself.
No. Listen.
And, you know, whatever. It's insane.
I know it might sound a little bit funny or impossible to you. However.
Isn't it funny?
If you're traveling with somebody, man or woman, and they put their hands on you, and they are clearly in the wrong, and you're getting hurt, especially if you're camping, or if you're not camping, just find a weapon. But if you're camping with a tent and you have some tent pegs, drive a tent peg through their body.
Like Rahab. The spy.
Now, you may not need to kill them, but enough to injure them so you can get away.
Yes. Folks, we need to teach our daughters who are venturing out in these things and before they go out to these things, to not only be self-sufficient, but be self-aware and pay attention to the world around them and the people, most importantly, the men they allow in their lives. And to know that when something happens, it's time to move on. Don't wait. Don't wait for that push you just got that was a little extra, mm-hmm. a lot more extra to go by. Because the next time it won't be a push, it could be a fist. And that doesn't mean, you know, we were little. Before you had started a fight, you'd be like, come on, hit me. No, you hit me. No, you hit me. No, you hit me. You hit me first. Uh-uh. I didn't play that game. That first hit you get may knock you clear out your mind and may kill you. So there's no waiting for this situation to happen. There is no waiting to see if it's going to iron out like that lady in the movie. There is no, I'm going to sit out here and go across the country with you in a car and you act on a fool the entire way and now this poor lady is dead. That's not what I'm teaching my daughters. And while these idiots want to get on TV and use this as some political stance, not only do they need to be ashamed of themselves, you know what? Maybe their producers need to smack them upside their head. Because what happened is a young woman's life was lost and it did not need to be taken. Period. That's it. You good?
Yeah.
All right. We're out of here. Enjoy the rest of your day and your weekend. And have those talks.